Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. These are very interesting days, as you're seeing what you just saw on VFN TV. And these are days that we need to, as the church, to become alert and to wake up. Of all the things that the Lord told us to do, He told us to go into all the nations and make disciples. And you think about the nations, you know, what are five different aspects of a nation that can change its culture, change the way it thinks? There are actually seven spheres. It's like Bill Bright said, you know, in regards to Christ for the Nations, the Lord revealed to him that there's seven spheres, and we call them seven mountains of culture, and you're seeing them today. These are things that we focus on at VFN TV and the VFN Dream. So you're looking over here at the government mountain over here to my right. You know, God's called us to make disciples, to go into government, to be light in the midst of government. He's called us to be able to make disciples and send them into the mountain of family. My family is just being, you know, just broken down. But the truth is, do we have disciples in the family? You think about it, disciples are people that know Jesus, know His teachings, and follow them. Then you have the business mountain, as you're seeing right here. You know, how many Christians do we see as disciple in the workplace? Or over here in media, in arts and in media, where people are, you see VFN TV, you know, with us doing our daily broadcast and our radio program. It's time for the church to be able to wake up and say, you know, we can do this. Who said we can't do this? The religion mountain, the church, the education mountain, the schools. You know, we're working with education, we're working in business, and we believe that God's calling you to be a part of that as well. And arts and entertainment. We're looking at how many times are you seeing where everything seems, it's dark. It's not, it's no longer, you know, healthy. It just feeds into the dark side of human nature. And everything that God says don't do, it seems like media is going after. Or education, we're saying, you're hearing people say you can't say the prayer in school, and you can't, you know, bow your head at a lunchroom, or you can't, you know, in regards to church, you're seeing the government come in on the church and the First Amendment being violated in regards to saying that you can do this or you can't do that, or you got to be able to, you know, possibly if you're a religious organization, to support abortion, you know, for your employees that work there. In the business sector, how many times are we seeing the business sector and how many decisions are being made in our culture? And if it was a disciple of Jesus, Jesus tells us how to do business. He tells us how to use media or those type of things to get the word. He tells us how the church should be and how education should be and how arts and entertainment should be. In the family, I mean, you think about it. Do you think God left us without a plan to be able to affect this part of culture? I mean, He gave us His strategy to do it. The thing about it, we've been trying to do family our own way. And we're trying, you hear people today telling the world how to be married, and the church hasn't figured out how to be married yet. We haven't figured out how to actually live within the context of what God says how marriage should be and how family should be. But He tells us, if we become a disciple in the family mountain, we can begin to become healthy again and begin to function in the context of what He called us to do. In the government mountain, you have some perspective right now where Christians are trying to, you know, go from the outside in. If we could just make some righteous laws, you know, and God didn't call us to do that. God called us to actually win an individual over to Him, and His kingdom comes inside of them. They become His disciple. Then they go into government, and that kind of light in that mountain can turn this nation back. You know, when America was founded, it was founded by people who had a desire, you know, to honor God, and there was Christians involved in that founding, and it is a Christian, Judeo-Christian foundation that was laid for this nation. But it's based on the fact that all of our rights come from God. All of our rights don't come from government. So we have to understand, how do we as a Christian submit ourselves to God and begin to impact government, to begin to impact education, to begin to impact religion, to begin to impact media and impact business? Do you know God wants your business to prosper, but He has some very specific things about it. Well, right here, you want to join with us on a regular basis, because that's what we're doing. We have mountain meetings, VFN Kingdom Business, and we're talking about going into each of these mountains, sending disciples and empowering you with their business. We are working with businesses continually, helping our business relationships and our business partners and how their profit line and how their customer base is working, how they can do better business and how to do business in a godly way. So God will bless your business. And we want to be able to join with the biz, you're seeing right here, the business mountain. We want to be able to join with you in your business. We want to be able to pray over your business. We want to be able to ask God to bless your business, but you need to stand. And standing with us as a VFN TV partner, that's how this happens. This is exactly how it happens.
We'll be right back.
Before Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, there was an earlier defender of the galaxies.
Galileo, a pioneer of the telescope, was a renowned scientist and devout Christian. He spent much of his life defending the idea that the sun was at the center of the universe. However, the church in the early 1600s firmly believed the Bible taught that the earth was the center of the universe.
The Roman Inquisition ruled against his scientific method, and Galileo refused to recant. He believed that science could aid in the study of the Bible. In 1633, at the age of 70, he was put under house arrest until his death 9 years later. Galileo quoted an early Christian theologian contending,
"God is known by nature in his works, and by doctrine in his revealed word."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book, Together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
Why you see that changing?
Because it's time. You know the difference between you and these people? They're cowards. And you ain't.
You know, there will be a time in your life when someone, something, some event might hurt you so bad that all you want to do in that moment is get back, get even, and take whatever you can from them. I can promise you this, guys. It's never about how much you can take. It's about how much you can give. Forgive them. That's why I forgave that guy for punching me in the street for no reason. That's why I forgave my mother for leaving me when I was a few months old. That's why I forgave my father for hurting me when I was growing up. That's why my brother forgave me for hurting his feelings. If you want real power, learn to forgive.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I mean, you think about when Jesus is walking on the earth in his ministry, he wasn't caught up and concerned with what was happening. You know, there were so many things going on. If you look at the early church, if you look at in parallel history and what was taking place with the Persians and all that was happening at the time, Roman and Rome and what was happening with them, and that, you know, it's not to get caught up in that. This is what Jesus said. When somebody wanted to stop him for the natural political arena and said, you know, we need you to stay in this town to lead it, which is a kind of a big affront to Jesus because he's like, I am leading.
Right.
He goes, I must be about my Father's business. And that's what we're called to be as followers of Christ, as Christians, Christ followers, is to be about God's business, the Father's business, which is to seek and save that which is lost. And that, and so what we call that is the kingdom business. Yeah, that's the kingdom business. He says that the kingdom of God would come. The kingdom of God is near you.
that the kingdom of God is in you, and that our job is to advance the kingdom of God, which is not a natural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it only advances when we share the good news about the kingdom of God and the King, Jesus Christ, and somebody accepts Jesus Christ in their life, and now the kingdom dwells in their heart. And so no matter what happens in the world, we're called to advance, be in the Father's business, the kingdom business. We call that VFNKB or VFN Kingdom Business. And one specific, and we focus, as you can see right here on your screen, I guess to the left of me or whatever, that, you know, seven spheres of influence, because Jesus said this. He said, go make disciples of the nations. And so he's called us to disciple nations. And the way you do that, Bill Bright really got a great revelation from the Lord in this, is that there's basically seven spheres of influence in a culture. You know, and if you could just pull up on the main screen where they can see it, you have the church, a religious mountain, you have the family mountain, or family sphere, you have the education sphere, the government sphere, arts and entertainment, and business sphere, and media. And you can pull that back down. But this to understand that, you're seeing it right there, that this is so important to understand that if we're going to impact a nation, we have to begin to impact these spheres. And you call these spheres mountains. That's what we call them, seven mountains. And we're doing that. That's what we just had a VFN KB meeting The Awakening, where, you know, the church became awakened, you know, to be disciples of Jesus, for the point where they began to healings. Over 20-plus healings are taking place that have been happening since then. And we want to be able to send disciples into each of these mountains, including the government mountain, the education mountain, the business mountain, the media mountain, all these different things. We have an intern program at VFN TV where our interns are going through and they're learning and they're being discipled, but they're learning how to do media. And it's amazing to watch what God can do. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you want to be a part of that. Maybe you're called into media. Well, maybe VFN TV is for you, because that would be, just go to VFNTV.com and let us know. But one aspect of that is that we need to, in regards to government, in regards to American unique government, because it's not, if you were in Afghanistan, it would be different. If you were in China, it would be different. But the government in America is a government by the people and for the people. And it's not just a theory or an idea. God is going to hold us accountable as the people in America. Did we lead the country? Did we do what's required of a citizen, you know, in America? And one good example of somebody who understood this, who stood up basically, you know, he didn't stand alone, but he was the tip of the spear of what was going on, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, he was an American and he's a Christian. So you put those two together, he stayed within the Constitution, but he also stayed under God's law in the context of that. As a man, all of us, you know, fall short of that. It's God's mercy and God's grace that actually empowers all of us. And God uses broken people.
Proof positive, right?
Yeah, proof positive for sure. Go to meet my father and et cetera is at the end of that.
That's it.
And so, you know, we can look back and think about how did they walk that out? Because today we need to stand up for the Constitution. We need to stand up for the rights of all citizens. But we don't need to do it in some political way or some sort of hate way. And what Dr. King understood is that love is the greatest weapon that you can use anywhere. But what I found, John, is when I'm saying one thing and I'm talking one thing and somebody goes, yes, 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 and then you see them manifest what they thought I was saying or what was in their heart, I'm thinking like,
I wasn't saying that.
I wasn't thinking about that. That's nothing like what I was thinking about. And so the question was, and this is a great interview right here, as a matter of fact, where Reverend Jesse Douglas, who was his best friend, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he walked with him. And he got to express some things, and he talks about something very important here, and we'll talk about it after you see this, but he talks about the commitments. There's 10 commitments, and that's what with VFN Kingdom Business that we talk about is called, you know, you go to civilchristianity.org, and you're going to see these 10 commitments, the 10 commitments that he's referring to, because when you agree for these 10 commitments, we can walk together. We can do quite a few things, you know, as one under those commitments, and also filters out for those that have other agendas and those type of things, because it's only by love, it's only by truth, and legally, you know, moving in the context of things. But listen, this is a touching moment where Reverend Jesse Douglas, his best friend was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and his experiences, but also how heartbroken he was when he found out that you know, Dr. King had been assassinated. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
When President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965 into law, it was a day that changed America.
Wherever, by clear and objective standards, states and counties are using regulations or laws or tests to deny the right to vote, then they will be struck down.
Reverend Jesse Douglas, a co-laborer and friend of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was one of many civil rights leaders fighting for African Americans' right to vote.
Really, it was our job to defend their rights and to stand up for them to be counted.
Douglas helped spearhead the movement to register voters in Alabama, where they faced very strong resistance.
We were working together in order to secure our rights, but it was not easy. It was not easy.
Tell me about that, about it not being easy.
The white people who resented it would appear at places and try to exert their brutalities, you know, spitting on people, slapping them, pushing them down.
Despite the brutality, Douglas, like Dr. King, stressed nonviolent protest as a means to demonstrate their opposition to the status quo.
The approach that you talked about with nonviolence and from a Christian perspective, how did you get people convinced to go that route when it goes against human nature?
Well, the persons who participated had to sign papers promising that they would not violate our nonviolent procedure of demonstration. Dr. King got us to realize that hate only provokes hate, that violence only provokes violence, and that love is the greatest force on earth.
That philosophy would be tested on March 7, 1965. 600 peaceful demonstrators gathered in Selma, Alabama, to march 50 miles to Montgomery, the state capital. But on the far side of the Edwin Pettus Bridge, just outside of Selma, state troopers blocked the marchers and attacked them with billy clubs and tear gas. The national media covered this travesty that became known as Bloody Sunday.
The eyes of the nation had been drawn to that situation as a result of the brutality exerted on the people of Selma.
Then on March 25th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., with Reverend Douglas at his side, led over 25,000 protesters to Montgomery. This time, by order of the president, they marched under the protection of the federal government. 5 months later, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965 into law, giving African Americans the right to vote without facing discrimination at the state and local levels. It was a major step toward racial equality, but the fight was far from over.
It took time. And some people died.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we anticipated that. But they were doing it for the benefit of their children and their children's children. And they made up in their mind that they were willing to sacrifice their lives.
One of those sacrifices devastated Douglas and their cause. On April 4th, 1968, Dr. King was shot and killed at a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee.
The news struck me like somebody had taken a dagger and pierced me in the heart. I couldn't react. I guess it was one of the greatest hurt that I've ever had in my life. Thank you. I love the man.
Did it seem like what was being fought for went with him?
It did halt the movement for a while because everybody was in mourning. The nation was in mourning.
Over the years, Douglas has continued fighting for the rights of African Americans. He's also been a devoted family man and pastor. Now 85, He fondly remembers his time spent with Dr. King as they envisioned an America where everyone is treated equally.
Before he preached, before he spoke, I would sing his favorite song, which was, "I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name."
What does that mean?
When your name is changed, you're changed from a sinner to a saint, and you become committed to Christ and his mission. You're a changed person. You've been born again. Oh, I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name.
Amazing. Just your heart just kind of melts, yeah. You know, that your friend that you loved and personally, and then such a tragedy, and there's so much pain, but yet so much victory because they stood, you know, and they were civil Christians in a civil land. And we have, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, we've got to learn how to understand that. These 10 commitments are not really options, because what they really are saying that I'm a Christian and I'm gonna act like Christ. I'm gonna do what's right. And you couldn't walk with Dr. King and it wouldn't have worked, because people will use that against a righteous movement. They will use that. They're waiting for people to swing, waiting for people to be angry, waiting for you to hate. But if you want to move in love, and it's not easy, I mean, it's really not. But if you want to move in love, if you want to be ones that say, you know, I don't want to walk with a people that just ends up doing weird and whack things, and although that we could be weird and all that, is if we're looking for a few people that say, you know what, I want to stand. I want to be like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Yeah. I want to be, you know, like Dr. King. I want to be like Reverend Douglas, who, you know, stood and stands today. You know, and it could be that if we do that, the next generation will benefit, like we're benefiting now from Dr. King's stand. So many people are. But the thing is that, are we willing to lay down our lives for the next generation? Are we willing to bridge the gap? If that's you, listen, you can go to civilchristianity.org and read the 10 commitments. And if you want to do that, sign those 10 commitments, and we'll be in contact with you, because we're gathering all those who want to stand. And when you've done everything to stand, stand. And we can do this if we do it together.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
We'll be right back.
Minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
A growing number of kids today are suffering from an emotional characteristic known as a wounded spirit.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
The Wounded Spirit is the title of a book written by best-selling author Frank Peretti about his own painful childhood experiences. Mr. Peretti was born with a tumor in his jaw that disfigured him and led to unmerciful taunting during his childhood years. Other children called him a monster, and they treated him with disdain and rejection. It took Frank many years to come to terms with his grotesque identity, long after the tumor had been successfully removed. Millions of adults and children today can relate to Mr. Peretti. I talked with a mother recently who said her teenage boy had actually lost his desire to live because of the ridicule of his peers over his slightly protruding ears. Suicide even loomed as a possibility. It's true that this kind of teasing and ridiculing has been going on forever among children, but today's kids are even more vulnerable to it, primarily because of the emphasis on beauty in the popular culture and the way Hollywood depicts the have-nots as nerds and freaks and geeks. Those with wounded spirits often gravitate toward drug addiction, violence, early sexual activity, and even emotional illness. It is our obligation as adults to protect these vulnerable kids as much as possible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, it's so exciting I'm so thankful for those that have gone before us.
Yes.
That we can learn so much. You know, why relearn the lesson? Why have to have the experience? Why not borrow it from those that have gone before us? And I can guarantee you that, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a Christian, in the presence of God, is looking over the banister of heaven and saying, hello.
What?
Yeah, you know, what? You know, I walked it out. And we're going to have to stand. And you notice that standing alone sometimes is required. And right now, there's a lot of aloneness in it because people are watching, the silent majority is watching from a distance. But that when we begin to stand in numbers, because there's more who believe in God and the original intent of our nation, it's just when you have a camera and you have, you know, people who are trying to promote. If you'll look at secular media, they just stay focused in one area. They do not cover the whole story.
No.
It's amazing what they do. I mean, they have, and people watch it for a news source.
If it bleeds, it leads, right?
Yeah. And so so I want to encourage you that we're doing something, you know,
right.
And your partnership, standing with us, joining, go sign that, those 10 commitments. First of all, think about that. I'm signing the same 10 commitments. It's updated just a little bit with our newer technology, newer day. But you're just like signing the same commitments of those that had to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King. And when you see that, you're going to think, I could walk with somebody that's walking beside me. If they sign those commitments, we're in agreement. And how can two walk together unless they agree? And I'm excited about it because, you know, if one can put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000, imagine what 1,000 can do.
Wow.
Who are walking together. And so we're so excited about, you know, VFN Kingdom business and all the things that are taking place. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.